What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
The other host of the show is here, ready to talk some pop.
Ready to talk some pop? Well, yeah. I'm just going to gleam past it today. I'm just going to gleam past
it. Right on, just going to let it be the way it should be.
Well, it's not really that's the case. It feels like if you give it too much attention, you know, like sometimes I almost think it's better. It's like if you just like let something lie, you know, like just be there like the lie that it is, you know, then it's like, it's fine. We're past it. Actually, this is sort of interesting. Do you have the need to be right? Like if you hear somebody say something wrong in front of you and you know that it's wrong, like, are you okay with just being like, I actually know the truth of the matter here?
Yeah.
The facts.
Right.
As they were. Can you just let it lie? Or do you need to be like, actually, learning moment? Because that's the thing. This is like, we talked about it once before. It's almost like if you've got like something in or around your nose, it's like, it feels both rude to say something and not to say something.
Oh, right. Like if you, I struggled with this for like half an hour one day at church back when that was the thing you could go to.
Right, right.
There was a girl sitting next to me and she just had like the biggest spinach leaf in her teeth. And all I could think was, and like, I spent like seriously 50 minutes deciding like, if I point it out to her, is it rude to point it out?
That's the thing.
Is it like I see it and I don't want to say something and be like, by the way, gross. But I don't like, that's obviously not what I mean. But if I tell her, then she can remove it. But should I just ignore it and just be like, don't worry?
I know. Because even the process very frequently of like clearing something like that up, like it might require like going to the bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
And like, have you played the game before where you like put this like clear thing in your mouth and it like basically like you like try to talk without being able to close your mouth, but it makes your mouth like wide open.
Yeah.
It's almost like that. Like that's what you need to go to the bathroom and do is like have like your like gums retracted.
Yeah.
Your teeth in full display.
No, because there's nothing worse than, because like some people might be like, thank you so much. But then you might get stuck in the situation where they're like trying to like suck it out of their teeth or like picking it like, I get it. You're like, no.
I know. And it's like the longer that goes on, it's like, that is my nightmare.
Yeah.
It's like, no. I do not want to be in this. It's like, if someone alerts me to a situation like this, it's like, I'm leaving the premises. Yeah. I'm going like, now.
All right. Yeah.
I will come back later when I've repaired this situation.
Right. Right. So anyway, can you just hear something factually incorrect and just let it go.
And just let it go. Because it's like when you see it, it can be something where you're just kind of like, it's like, ooh, it's like they don't have the right information and I know the correct information. And if I don't say something, then they may make decisions based on their misinformation. But also, I don't want to be like, Susie knows a lot. As it were.
The classic doll. That you just pulled the string and she'd just be like, actually.
That was Susie knows a lot's catchphrase.
Susie knows a lot.
Actually. That, because actually are literally the two words that you would probably like, actually, like.
Right.
Let me clear this up.
Let me just clear that up for you. The way that I will occasionally get around this particular thing is when I hear I think I can just hear something and just be like, especially if it's like inconsequential or something.
Okay.
But I think we maybe even touched on this last time. What I will do is I will say like, that's interesting. And then I'll like pull out my phone and like pretend to look or actually look it up. Like,
right. Right.
Maybe I'm wrong, but like, I'm pretty sure I'm right. And then I'll look at it and be like, oh, like then it's not me correcting it. It's like, oh, actually I just looked this up. It's this person, not that person.
Right, right,
yeah,
right.
K2 is the second highest mountain, not, whatever it is.
Right, right, right.
It's like,
look, we just learned together. Yeah, what a wonderful opportunity.
We learned together.
How great.
Wow, we're closer. I didn't definitely know it ahead of time.
Right,
yeah,
right.
This is, wow. Good thing you were wrong just now so that we could both learn, except just you.
That's my little secret.
This is maybe like not the exact same, but it is very close to a different phenomenon that it's one of my biggest pet peeves in the world on social media is the difference between like being is like being right and being correct.
Yes.
There's
a line.
Because there is a line. Yes. Yeah. It's like if you are just screaming at someone on social media about something, even if you are morally correct about the situation, even if you are factually correct, if you are like swearing at someone or like all capsing them or just putting them on blast, it's like, well, look, it's not that you don't have the high ground, but you're not wrong, but you are not correct.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Yep. You've crossed that line into something different. This is I don't understand this at all, because it's something that I struggle with constantly, and yet like I don't think it will ever cease to happen. Is arguments on social media.
It's just
because it's like there's absolute, like there is such an, like a small itty bitty tiny minuscule chance that you are about to change someone's mind. Like it is so highly unlikely. Like I would say the circumstances where someone's mind is ultimately changed through commentary on social media is probably a situation where it's already one of your close friends and they know enough about you to say something like very informed, and then you're dealing with someone who can probably change your opinion anyway. Like they're already someone who exists in your orbit. They already have a measure of influence over you.
If you're engaging a stranger, You're wasting your time.
You are not going.
You
it's a
are
PSA.
Wasting your time.
You are not changing their opinion.
You are not changing their opinion.
And this is, we've actually had this conversation in our office before, because there's like, we've had discussions about it, and there's this concept of like the theater of debate. Oh, so the idea.
The coward's way is what I call it, Ben. I don't accept that.
I don't accept it. Okay.
No.
So the theater of debate would be the idea that if there is an exchange going on social media, then the act of chiming in and proposing the counter argument is effectively allowing other people who are tuned into this particular thread the ability to see the exchange. Like, and I think I like to think of it almost like if the teacher's like, if you have a question, be sure to ask, because I have a feeling someone else in the class also has that same question. And like, usually they're right. Mm-hmm. Like there was a girl in my high school classes who was like, I don't know if like me and her, like our wavelengths were just perfectly synced or something, but I could always rely on her to like raise her hand and ask a question. Like, I was mm-hmm. like, yes, thank you. I was wondering. Yes, exactly that.
This to me is a false equivalency.
That's fine. Yeah.
If I'm reading the comments on this debate, it is not to change my mind. It's either to entertain myself with the absurdity of the argument.
Sure.
Or just to see if someone has responded making the point that I'm thinking. It's like reaffirm my own thing. It is not to learn from one of the people talking.
Right.
It is either to double down on my own opinion or just be entertained by the absurdity of both to begin with.
Yes.
And I'm not saying no one has ever had their mind changed by reading a debate in the comments.
Like, sure.
Certainly it's happened. Probably it's happened. But to me, that's no excuse for treating people poorly.
Right.
Yeah, like
it's so interesting too, because like the idea of social media is that it's supposed to be like a forum for the exchanging of ideas. But it's almost like social media came and we're like living in the Wild West of social media. Like there haven't been things brought into our education system, like where we are brought up with social media etiquette, like where there's actually been someone who has determined the proper like niceties or ways to communicate in this particular area, and everyone is protected by their like, you know, the distance of the keyboard, the screen,
the anonymity of it.
Right. Yeah. You're so far away from
like
another person.
Your identity is so far removed, but your words hold just as much power.
Right.
Which is this like weird thing, if not more power, because you're like just unleashing things you would never say in real life. I've been thinking about this so much this year because just the overwhelming amount of like, I don't know, cynicism you see online, just the visceral attacks people send each other in social media. It drives me crazy. So here, there's no, okay, you just said we don't have any, there's no teaching guidelines. Here, let me offer you the guidelines to you little kernels listening that I have been slowly settling on.
Okay.
For just general good social media practices.
Okay.
If you have, if you're sitting there and you're reading a comment and it grinds your gears. It gets under your skin and you've typed up a response, right? I mean, if any of these things apply, if that response is in all caps, if that response contains any amount of swearing, or if that response could be classified under attack.
Sure.
If any of those three apply, I want you to just good advice. Just take a deep breath. Just come back to that. Hit draft. Hit save draft. You don't have to delete it. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're totally within the zone. Maybe this person just is asking for it.
Right.
But maybe just take a breath. Come back to that 10 minutes, an hour tomorrow. See if you have reflected and think, I want to post this. I want these words attached to my name on the internet forever.
Right. I've thought it through.
I've considered it.
Mm-hmm. I've weighed the pros and cons. I believe I can make a difference here. Mm-hmm. Boom. Hit Boom. Send.
Yeah. Yeah. I would. Then you know what? Go for it. But I'm gonna bet most of the time, after you've taken a breath, you're gonna be like, I don't think this is a good idea. I don't think so.
Yeah, right.
I'm gonna reel it in. And you know what? I'm not even saying don't respond, period. Just think to yourself, is there a more constructive way to respond?
To communicate the thought. And it's so interesting too, because it feels like it's evolved. Like, I remember when we first started making our YouTube videos back in 2012, I remember there'd be the occasional person who would come in and just leave a mean comment.
Right.
And, but it could have been something as simple as it wasn't very eloquent, you know, it could have just been somebody being you suck, you know, and you were
right.
Well, who was sitting at their computer and they pulled up this video where I don't say anything of any consequence mm-hmm. whatsoever. And they were you know what? I need to tell them that they suck. You know, they need to know.
Right.
You know,
I need to go out of my way.
Right. And at that point in time, it was I was always so confused because I was who are these people?
Right.
Who is this person? That is in my mind, it was if I was ever more in belief that it was just a computer program gone wrong.
Yeah.
It was that was a more likely explanation to me. Someone had programmed something to be a random commenter generator of responses. That made more sense to me than somebody actually sitting at their keyboards being you suck. Not even spelling out Y-O-U. It was the letter U.
Right. S-U-K.
S-U-K. Oh.
Wow.
But the thing is that as time has gone on, it has evolved so drastically since 2012 when we first put ourselves, you know, in the public eye, and people are much more eloquent maybe, or it's not so simple as something you suck.
Yeah.
It's very elaborate, you know, in responses and things like that. And I think that I used to wonder who are these people? And then now I feel as I've gotten older, it's I am starting to know a lot of people where I will witness their social media activities. And it's I went to high school with you. You were so sweet.
Whoa.
I can't believe that you're oh my gosh. It's very, it can catch me off guard sometimes.
Right.
I'm I don't expect you're so nice and this is so vicious. I didn't anticipate that.
Do you think this is their secret real life, or is this just the power of being behind the keyboard?
Are they actually
a vicious person who you only ever knew to be sweet because they can mask it?
Possibly. I understand the kind of question that you're saying, where it was almost maybe it was underlying there the whole time, but the social niceties or even the greater complexity of being directly in front of a person and the difficulty of just being mean to someone who is standing in front of you.
Well, this is the thing is that, yeah, I think being my, it just it allows you to press send without thinking about the response of the other person, because you're not going to have to see it. You're not going to have to deal with it. At most, the worst you're going to get is a comment in return.
Okay. Right. So here's a question then, is that does it become cathartic? in a way, you know, if like people have said, like, you know, if you're upset, like sometimes like what can literally help is like screaming into a pillow, you know, or like, if you have like a punching bag at home, or like you can go into like a workout, you know, like get your like blood pumping and like really like take all of that energy that you've worked up and like transfer it into an activity. And then you like get to like walk away from it and be like, oh yes, like I feel better.
Right.
It's almost like a question of like, is there a portion of that that might be going on here? Like where someone's like, they're just like, they're so worked up. They're so frustrated. They're so mad. They have to say something to somebody. And it's like, it's almost not like me versus you. Like me and you have clearly had like gripe, you know, like you dated that girl I wanted to date or something. Uh-huh. Like, and there's history between these two people. Cause this can be complete strangers.
This could be, I mean, I to say it's probably not like sport for some people, but just be like, oh boy, finally, I'm so glad I'm finally done with work and go online and like, just like rile people up.
Right.
Or like, yeah. I can just go like tell people they're wrong. Like I'm sure people are out there motivated by that very idea. And I don't think that's a very good use of your time. If you're just like if your release is to go be mean to people, that's not okay.
Right. Yeah. No, I get that completely. So
like scream into the pillow.
Scream into the pillow.
Know,
yeah.
It's you know, that's more constructive. Go punch the punching, but get a workout in, man. You know, whatever it is.
Right. Except it's such a broad spectrum thing. But so, I mean, it makes me curious a little bit, like, yeah, like what is happening or why is it happening that there's sort of, if that's the case, if it's like a cathartic experience, it's like, what is happening so much in everybody's life that this has become like a, and like, so what we're talking about, it's not even a rare instance. Like I could open any of my social media platforms and find somebody being mean or cruel in less than 30 seconds.
For sure.
Like it's not hard to find.
No.
And honestly, like my actual reaction to it, because I think for a while, it's almost like a car crash. Like you can't look away from it.
Yeah, that's part of the problem is that like you, I don't know. I think you like watch TV or you watch, you know, a movie or something and you see these like dramatic, you know, quippy back and forth or whatever. But in real life, when you're face to face with people, this just doesn't happen that much. Like because people are nice in person because they don't want to like be dealing face to face with like a really angry person all of a sudden.
Right.
But so all of a sudden you're online, you're like, oh my God, look at this. Oh my God, look, this is happening. Right. There's a real, I can't, and then at some point you get, I think there's like a certain desensitization, like, did I say that right? Desensitizing that occurs. And then eventually you're like, you know, I could, the comment box is right here.
But I can get just, in on this.
I can dip my toe in and then I go, wow. Oh, whoa.
Here we go.
Oh, yeah. I imagine there's a certain amount of like desensitization. You're like, hey, you see it so often. You're like, I guess this is acceptable behavior.
Right.
But I would really like to encourage people to not do that and tell you that it is not acceptable.
Sure. But it's interesting too, because I think the other thing that I have always been extremely grateful for, like I said, like, you know, in the early days of creating Super Carlin Brothers content and stuff, like we'd have these people who'd pop on. I would say that in general, it was few and far between. Like it wasn't common. And then I feel like we had a period of time where there was like some, like where we like first started like dipping our toe into like making the theories, where like there was like some people who were like, I don't really like that you guys only make these like theory style videos anymore. And like, that was a way that they could like make a commentary about what you were doing, but it was more just like, you know, preference based or whatever.
Sure.
But one of the things that I've always thought was mind blowing is that we like make our careers on the internet. Like we're amongst this thing, like we're almost everything that we produce, like in directly attached to our livelihood has a comment box.
Yeah.
You know, so it's almost like anywhere you go, or anywhere we go digitally, there's always that opportunity for someone to comment. And interestingly, and maybe uniquely, strangely, I'm not sure, I don't feel like I personally have been, and maybe I'm asking for it now, but like super on the receiving end of a lot of negativity in my, you know, how many years, 9 years of being like a content creator.
Yeah.
Like whatever.
I will say, and I'll just give a huge shout out to just the Super Carlin Brothers community and like the little kernels listening right now, that what we have even received feedback from other creators who even like exist in the same space as us.
Right.
That if you go into the comments of our videos, that like they are exceptionally positive. Like the negativity is just like it's not, I don't know, as present or something. Like I think when the last time Seamus was in town, he did like collabed on some videos with us because he was here, you know.
Right, Seamus Gorman.
Seamus Gorman, who's another fellow YouTube creator who does, you know, fandom stuff about Disney, Pixar, Harry Potter, stuff like that. And he was like going through the comments on the videos of ours that he was in, and he was just like blown away at how unmean they were.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember being like, really? Because we have like such a similar style.
Yeah. It's very interesting. And like the thing that I've wondered a lot about before, and this is like, it's kind of a strange way to like look at our job, but like one of the pieces of the puzzle that for me, a lot of times that feels like it's missing is, and we've discussed this before, but like maybe like a sense of like fulfillment, or like maybe not being able to truly dig into the belief that, you know, you're making the world a better place one fandom theory at a time or something, which was also true with my previous career choice and other business I owned, which was, you know, selling very nice aquariums. Yeah. It was also very difficult to be like, yes, I just made the world a better place with that aquarium that I installed, you know, like that. So I think that maybe I value it because it hasn't been one of the more prominent aspects of my career so far, but in a way, it's possible that maybe a lot of the reason that we don't receive an enormous amount of negativity back is that we don't really dish out a lot of negativity. Like, I think that of the internet is supposed to be pretty positive.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think we're largely, hopefully we are like fountains of optimism or like at least positivity.
Sure, yes, exactly.
I don't know. Not what I'm going for at most of the time. I remember like early on in when we first started Super Carlin Brothers, one of my, like our audience was not very big, you know, we'd get like 200-300 views or something on videos, but I knew for certain that at least like two of those views were coming from our like much younger cousins.
Yeah.
At the time we had like twin cousins. What's up, guys? They're not so little anymore. They're like taller than us.
Yeah. They're definitely not so little anymore.
They are not so little. They are, but they're awesome people. I knew they were watching. Like they're, and for some, like when I would write a video, I'd be like, okay, these are family members who I see several times a year who possibly like look up to us or like could take cues from this.
Sure.
As like in a way that other people, like they would have like an extra layer of connection to us. And I don't want to set a bad example specifically for like these two people in like the entire audience. I was like, I know they're watching and I don't want to like be a bad influence on them.
Yeah.
And like, even though they're completely grown now, like that is the same attitude that like sort of like dictated early on, like should I ever like I don't know if you watch our old videos or just any of our videos ever, like we've never been big on like swearing at all.
I would say in the first year we probably did some versus now, which is never.
Yeah. There might have been the occasional here and there, but yeah, now it's like very definitely never.
Very definitely. Yeah. Very decidedly.
Very intentional. Yes. Very decidedly. Like, that's just not part of our brand. Early, you know, early on, you don't like have a brand. You're just throwing stuff at the wall.
Right.
And stuff.
Right,
but, like, right. But that was like an early decision. And I don't, maybe it sounds like maybe you did not know that was what was.
Well, or, I mean,
like how I was rationalizing.
I think that. I remember there was like one story in particular that I always thought was really spectacular with these two twin cousins of ours, where they were in class and like middle school or maybe even possibly elementary school. And they're like, teacher, must have been middle school, like showed in class a Super Carlin Brothers video.
Yes.
And they were like, that's my cousin.
Yeah.
And they were like, what?
Yeah, I think they didn't believe them. It was the Why Do We Yawn video.
Yeah.
Which, through no permission of our own, somehow got picked up and put on some like educational website that was part of a database for teachers at school to show kids.
Sure.
Which is like, I don't know how we ended up on this thing, but no one asked us. It's fine with me. I don't care.
Yeah,
I don't care.
Yeah.
But apparently they were sharing the video. Yeah, in class, and they were like, "Oh my god, that's our cousin!" And they were like, "No, it's not." And then it turned out that their eldest sister happened to be in one of our videos, and they pulled up another video from the channel. And were like, "No, see, look, that's our sister." And sure enough, other people in the class then could confirm
that, like, yeah.
Oh, that is their sister. Wow.
Wow. Pretty unbelievable.
Unbelievable. I love that story, though.
I know. It's such so a good fun. One. Yeah. It's such a good one.
Like,
but no,
odds?
you're right. Like, I think that it's keeping those types of voices sort of in the back of your mind
yeah.
a little bit. And maybe that'll be like something interesting too, where like the social media generation of people that, like, as they're growing up, and maybe their kids are finding their way onto social media, being aware that what you post, because it used to be the case, like, I feel like we would have grown up with the group of people where we were on social media when our parents weren't.
Yeah.
And we were not of the age when we all signed up for it that we would have had kids yet.
Yeah.
And so for a while, social media was kind of like, again, the Wild West. Like, you could go on social media and there's a great big public forum where, like, your parents were never going to see this stuff.
Right.
Like, there was no chance of mom and dad when I was in middle school having a MySpace page.
Right.
You know, and maybe, for all I know, maybe they did. And maybe they were like, "Oh, let's just make sure Ben's not doing anything ridiculous."
Boy, that'd be so surprising.
That would be super surprising. It would be surprising if we didn't know that was the case.
Yeah.
But I'm almost curious as then, because then parents did come on to, like, maybe Facebook first. And it's almost been like this, like, maybe then a bunch of people, like, migrated away from Facebook. I don't know, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting to see as this group of people that grew up, like, in their teens, maybe early 20s with social media, as they start to have their wave of kids reach an age where they would have social media accounts.
Right.
And then being accountable, instead of being worried about what your parents see you doing on social media, but being worried about what your kids see you doing on social media.
Ah, yes.
You know?
Well, that's another great way to think about it. Like, if you have kids, would you want your kid to see you behaving this way? Or if your kid posted that, would you be okay with it?
Yeah.
Great way to think about it. I think if you'd be upset that your child posted what you just posted, and of course that's going to cause tons of bias because I'm sure you're really proud of your own words.
Sure, yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Of course, I'd be so proud. Yeah, you get him, son. You know, worth considering in both directions.
In both directions. Yeah.
And yeah. That's just maybe we've spent too long on this. I don't know.
Maybe.
I feel like this is consumed so much of my thoughts lately.
No, it's been a big one. But yeah. I think I have a healthy transition to talk about the wonderful, wonderful nature of both the Super Carlin Brothers community and Little Colonels as well.
Yeah.
I've received some great help from this community of people lately.
Have you
now? And it's almost got me in trouble.
Do tell.
Okay.
Do tell.
So, recently, our mom works like with the local chapter of the SPCA.
Yeah.
So, like, specifically, like, with dogs and stuff. We're like a big pets family. Like, our dad grew up contributing and being involved with, like, a service dog association in the area. So, like, it's been like a very prominent part of our life. I think across our family, with you being the one exception, because your wife Beth is allergic to dogs.
Yes.
I think there are like 8 dogs in direct family.
There are many dogs in the family. I mean, yes, for sure. Dogs, big part of the family.
So yeah. Anyway, I have my Australian Shepherd, Indy, and mom messaged me.
Oh yeah, I know where this is going.
A couple weeks ago, and she was like, "Hey, the local magazine, the Roanoker, is having a contest for like the cutest pet or, you know,
top dog." Is that what they're calling it?
Top dog in Roanoke. Yeah. And they were like, "You should nominate Indy for it." And I was like, great idea. So, like, you know, I went online and it was kind of like one of those, I uploaded a couple of pictures and typed up like a little bio about Indy and stuff and was like, here we go. Like, who knows? We'll give it a shot. And so last week I got an email from the Roanoker and they were like, "Hey, congratulations. Indy was selected. If you would like to encourage your like friends or family or, you know, share on social media the contest, they can vote for Indy at like the link below. And I was like, oh boy.
Oh, it's on.
You know, this is like a like cracks knuckles moment. Right. Where it's like, it's about to go down. So I was like, okay. I you shared it on your Instagram story. I shared it on my Instagram story, which is going out to, you know, probably collectively about the same 80,000 people.
It's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people. It's a ton of people. But so it was, I was like, oh my God, this is so exciting. Like, you know, I'm totally going to be able to get Indy to be like top dog. So the very next day, I get an email from the Roanoker magazine being like, it seems like maybe some fraudulent activity is occurring here. And we need to know if there's a reason, like why Indy got so many votes in the first day, because as it is right now, like we're kind of inclined to believe that like, that's not actually happening unless somehow, and it was almost like they were throwing this out there as like, unless somehow you have like a huge audience you can share it with or something.
Like if that's the case, no big deal, but like, let's be real.
Like as if you get that many votes in one day.
Yeah.
To which first of all, I was like, okay, Indy is gorgeous.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
she could do pretty well on her own. You know, also, I think some people out there maybe voted for her instead of their own dog.
Probably. Also, I like the idea that they're insinuating that more likely than you have a large audience of any kind, that you are capable of hacking their system.
Right,
and
right.
Running up the vote count.
Yeah. That seems just as likely.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm very invested in this top dog thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to hack your system.
Right.
In order to ensure the proper result. So before I very quickly tangent into somehow another story, we will have put a link to Indy's voting page.
Yes.
In the bio for, or the show notes for today's episode. So
wait, so they emailed you and what did you respond?
Oh, sorry. Yes.
Yeah.
So I responded and I was like, actually, and it worked out because it literally was the very next day. So even for like Instagram stories, I was able to get your like analytics and my analytics from the thing itself and be like, look, I can show you directly where it even tells you like how many people clicked through the link and everything. So it's like I had full verifiable.
Like here's all I did. Here's the exact data.
Right.
You're welcome. Can't wait for the photo shoot where my dog gets to be on the cover of your magazine. Thanks for the silver platter.
Thank you. Yeah, I know, right? No, actually, it's really funny though, because this particular magazine is something that like when we were kids, our dad being like the local TV news anchor, which I feel like we bring up all the time, not to brag or anything, but our dad was on the cover of it. And I feel like ever since then, like in my mind, especially growing up in the same area my whole life and still living here now as an adult, it has still remained a goal of mine to be on the cover of this magazine.
Yeah, it's can like, I go ahead and brag a little right
you
here?
You can go ahead and brag. Just go ahead. Go.
I have been on the cover.
Yeah, show off. Show off.
This I can tell you this story. It actually this was the same exact thing. Yeah, our dad was on the cover, and so like as a kid, I was like, oh my God, it'd be so cool to be on the cover someday. Like, wow. Well, when I got my first job, I did not have a lot of like professional attire.
Right.
So like I think mom and our parents like I don't even know, like congratulations gift or something.
I think it was like a graduation
some
present.
Some sort of graduation gift, yeah, for me, for just getting hired, was that they were going to take me out to the like nice local men's store and just buy like four or five shirts and some pants and stuff.
Right,
like,
right.
Let's help get your wardrobe started.
You need something to wear to a, like an office job.
Yeah, you have like a professional office job. You need to look nice. And so we went and to this like local downtown men's store called Davidson's, and it turns out that dad, being again like on the news, has shopped at this store for a long time, so the owner knows dad, and he was the one helping us go through all the clothes and whatnot. And as I'm there, I don't know that he had the best judgment in the world asking me to do this, but he asked if I would like to like model some clothes for like a different local magazine.
Okay.
Yeah. Called City Magazine, which I don't even know if it's still in publication, but I was like, oh, yeah, that's so cool.
It's like saying someone
like, oh man,
someone asked you to model.
I know. Someone asked me to model. I'm like,
how flattering.
It was very flattering. I was like, okay. So anyway, but the photographer who did it turned out to be one of the photographers for the Roanoker.
Yes.
As well. And over like the next like couple years, anytime the guy at Davidson's was doing like, he wasn't always advertising a magazine. Sometimes he was just doing like mailers or just like postcards.
Right.
And he would ask me to just come like be the model for it. And I was like, oh, this is cool. This is fun.
Yeah.
What a fun little side gig I got going here. But so I met with the photographer several times, who of course also knew Dad because Roanoke's not that big a city.
Right.
And he's like, you know, he would talk about all the different photo shoots he'd been on where he was there and I'd be like, okay, great or whatever. And he was like, oh yeah, I think he might've been the one who did the shoot for the Roanoke. And I was like, oh man, well, if you ever need a model for that. And like, I was just sort of said it as, you know, wouldn't that be hilarious?
It would be so funny if you put me on the cover of the magazine.
Well, I got a text from him like, a couple of weeks later, it was like, hey, they just needed sort of like a generic like couple for the cover of the magazine to just be like a very Roanoke city
scape.
View,
yeah,
cityscape.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Like not like I was the feature of any story or anything. They just needed like generic people to be on the front to really look at the city behind you.
Right. Right.
So.
Right.
Actually it worked out insanely well. I went the first night to go do this photo shoot and it was just going to be me and some other completely random model girl who he knew who had like asked to come.
Okay.
And we go up there and it's like, it turns out it was like really cloudy and the wind was blowing super bad. And we were going to be on this like little outcrop on the Taubman Museum of Art, which is in downtown Roanoke. And it's got like a nice view of like the city behind you and stuff.
Right.
But it just like the conditions were just not good. So he ended up just scrapping the whole thing. And we're like, okay, we'll just reschedule. I'll just shoot you guys in front of a green screen later on at a different date. We'll determine it later. And I was like, okay, no big deal. No big deal. Well, we reschedule and we're coming up and it's like the day of, and I get a text from the guy and he's like, hey, our girl had to cancel. So we need to reschedule again, unless you have like a cute girlfriend or something. And I was like, well, as it were, this was like, I think at this time I had bought the ring to propose to Beth, but I had not proposed yet.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
Wow.
So I was like, actually, I do have a girlfriend. You know, she's very cute. If you would like to put, you know, she can come do it with me. And so it like worked out amazingly that me and Beth got to be the models to be on the cover. And then like it happened, I think later that week is when I proposed. So sadly, the ring wasn't in the cover.
It
was so close. I was like, oh man, that'd be great. I probably should have. I maybe could have photoshopped something in, probably. But anyway, so I got to be on the cover. Not for anything I did other than happen to try on clothes at a shop one day that led through a weird series of events.
I know, that's like such a classic right place, right time situation.
Yeah, totally.
Right.
Totally worked out.
Anyway, super jealous of that.
But so is it correct that if you win this contest, your dog will be on the cover of the magazine?
That's the thing. So I don't actually know what the specifics are, but it does sound like it is like the centerfold story of whatever that edition is. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it would stand to reason that you would also be on the cover. Cause that's usually what the cover image is for.
Right.
And so to say you would be on the cover, I mean, Indy would likely be on the cover, which I'm going to call a win.
That would be a super win. And they may as well just put you on there too. Like, here's me and my dog.
Here's
me and my dog.
I know. Oh my gosh. So
what's so funny about this is that the real purpose of this contest is nothing to do with finding like the best dog. Like all the Roanoker actually cares about is getting more email addresses.
Yes.
So they can hit people with marketing emails and hopefully get more subscriptions. Like that's the goal. And I can tell you for sure that obviously I think to vote you have to sign up. So for sure their email numbers are going up, but the hilarious part is that our audience is not local.
Right,
so,
I know, yes.
For a magazine called The Roanoker.
Right. Although, like, it would be so funny if somehow randomly there was like an influx of like all these like people from around the world are like, yeah, I'm into The Roanoker magazine.
Yeah, I gotta figure out what's happening in that city.
I'm up on that news,
gotta
man.
Gotta know.
No, I know, it's absolutely incredible. And the other thing is that the Roanoke magazine, and Alice, my wife, forbade me from doing this. So I'm not going to recommend that you do or how you could or anything like that. But they do like a best of every year where like a lot of local businesses, and this is typically one of their bigger, higher selling copies, probably for the same reason. It's because if you win, then you probably encourage your friends to like go and pick up a copy to be like, hey, look, my name's in the thing.
Yeah.
But they do like a best of, and one of the things is like bridal shops. And so like when I first like had thought of this, I was like, oh my gosh, Al, like I could totally like recommend this for people to like vote for your shop.
Yeah.
And she was like, please don't do that. Like, and I actually admire this about her, because she was like, I really like absolutely like want to win because of like on merit. Like, I don't want to believe that like, yay, I won platinum because my husband has
flooded the ballot box.
Right.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, so like, I won't do that. I won't advise on how to do it. How, like anything related to it. But so then when this fell into my lap with Indy, it was like, yes, 100%.
Yeah.
Like, so I like anything I can do, I'm all in.
So absolutely. You, because to me, this is winning on merit in a way.
Like, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, I mean, so yeah, call to action. Everyone listening, link in the show notes. Go vote for Indy to be top dog.
Top
dog in Roanoke. We will keep you posted.
I know. I think literally as of this episode coming out, there's only 2 days left to vote. So if you're not listening to this on, hold on, Friday the 22nd or Saturday the 23rd of January 2021, then you've already missed it. Thank you for tuning in anyway, and welcome to the show.
Yeah. Can I tell you, I have an experience in almost this exact situation.
Okay.
On maybe more from the Roanoke's end. So at my previous job, at my event venue, we had an annual event called PetX, which was a completely in-house event. It took up about 80% of my time for about 4 months every year, and it made almost zero money for the venue.
Sure.
It was a complete time suck.
Okay.
And I did not like working on it. Sorry, sure. If you used to work with me, these are my honest feelings. It was a lot of work for what felt like not much gain. But anyway, it's okay. That's okay.
Maybe you should write like an email and be like, hey guys, Jonathan, you remember me.
You remember. anyway, not the point. One of my ideas 1 year for the PetX was to hold a like cutest dog competition.
Sure.
Yeah. Blast out our massive email database and say, hey, if you want to submit your dog for cutest dog, send us a picture at this email address and I'll post it on our Facebook page, and then you can vote. Most likes wins. And let me tell you, this was the most successful gangbuster thing maybe I did for the venue the entire time.
No kidding.
I think we took the social media page from like, or the Facebook page from like 4,000 likes to like 40,000 likes in the course of, you know, a week. It was insane.
Okay.
It was such growth. I got such props for it.
Wow. I'm so impressed with you.
The thing is, like, yeah, the Roanoker emailed you about, like, I suspect fraud. It was like, on my end of things, did not care. Like, the people in second place and third place were, like, slamming whoever was winning for, like, obviously cheating or not, I don't know about cheating in quotes, but, you know, let's say it was some, you know, pug winning or something. Well, if you went to the said person's Facebook page, you would see that they were clearly a member of like a national pug organization and were like influential on forums or something.
Clearly they
were doing the same thing you're doing.
Sure.
And just slamming the ballot box, which was unfair to second and third place, but it doesn't matter because the whole point isn't to figure out the cutest dog.
The objective of the organization
is to get more followers.
Right.
And same exact thing. Were they all local people? Obviously for the success of the venue in terms of like, can you turn those followers into like tickets and people who butts in seats at shows?
Butts in seats.
Yeah, that's obviously the main goal. But if you're just me, the marketing dude, all I wanted was the numbers. I just wanted those numbers up and I got them and it was amazing.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so glad that worked out. Maybe you should take it up with the Roanoker for totally copping your idea.
Yeah, maybe I will. Be like, hey, not only did you steal my idea, now you're slamming my brother for winning with the same methods.
Oh my gosh. I feel like we're burying any shot of the Roanoker magazine ever featuring us ever. Which is actually ironically,
they've already featured me.
sort of. Yeah. You were there for your sheer good looks. Take that.
Exactly.
Oh
no,
my
I don't
gosh.
Know about that.
I tell a story about a time that I actually did cheat?
Okay. So yeah, I don't think what you're doing right now is cheating. It's just like, it just so happens that the rules really cater to your exact skill set.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Cater to your exact circumstance.
The other thing I would like to make absolutely clear is that Indy is like an exceptionally gorgeous dog.
Well, this is the flip side of this competition. It's like, you want to call it cutest dog competition? Like, all you know, who are you? Who are you to say?
Yeah.
Who's the cutest dog? It's like, it's not real. Again, because that's not the point.
That's not the point.
They're just crowning the winner. All they want is the email address.
They want butts and seats.
They want magazines and mailboxes.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. I will buy it if in fact.
For sure. Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
It'll be great.
Yeah.
No. So once upon a time, this is, I'm not very proud of this story, to be honest with you. when I was in college, I was, extremely into my aquarium hobby. I at that point in time, I was already like running our aquarium store, which now we don't actually own the aquarium store anymore. We just do like service type stuff. But like I was so infatuated with this aquarium that I had in my apartment. And I mean, it was like far and away the nicest thing that I owned by a mile, and everything that I had in it, there's no way I could have ever afforded if not for the fact that I had the access to the business, which meant that I could buy things, you know, like a special discount. Mm-hmm. And I very frequently was like meeting vendors who were like willing to like hook me up if I was willing to like, you know, use their stuff. And so I was constantly trying to like find ways to build out this hobby that, quite frankly, I could not afford to do.
Right.
And so inside of that, you have like rare corals, which are effectively like the trading cards of the aquarium industry. So yeah. Like there's all the mechanics, like the lights, the filters and stuff like that, which are, they can honestly be just as enticing as anything else. Like they like make them look pretty and stuff.
Yeah,
like filters can look cool. But inside of the tank itself, you could buy like a single polyp of a coral, like the size of like an eraser head. And that could be something like worth taking high-end photos of and like bragging about online.
Yeah.
In part due to the fact that corals can grow.
Yeah.
And you can then like frag them again later. So oftentimes if you could get like even a single head of a rare coral, then if you could get it to grow, then you could like literally fund your hobby by like cutting up those pieces of coral and then selling them to other hobbyists.
Yeah.
who would very much want them. And we're talking about certain things could be as much as like $100 per polyp. So if you manage to get a single one, it turned into three heads, like you're really starting to like see how lucrative it could be very quickly.
Right.
So once upon a time, I remember for whatever reason, at this point in time in my life, just playing like online mini games, like arcade, like Bejeweled Blitz.
Oh, yeah,
like,
for sure.
Like Facebook used to have like a rather robust arcade corner to it.
Oh, man. I mean, everyone's been down this avenue at some point of their internet career where they find some hyper-addictive game and it just like consumes them
Yes.
for a little bit.
Yes. So
Bejeweled Blitz. What good times.
I know. Such good fun.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the forum that I used to be a part of for this aquarium hobby of mine, where I would go and like literally spend hours just drooling over other people's corals. There was this like one guy who like popped on there in the arcade inside of the forum. He had like played a game and he put up a post and he was like, "Hey, I have like a frag pack and I just got like a super high score in this one game. And I just think it was like super fun. And this is kind of random. So like, I'm going to give away this frag pack to anyone who can beat my score. Like, ready, go."
Yeah.
And so it was like, I opened it up and it was Yeti Sports. Like that was I think you had to
raise your hand if you remember Yeti Sports.
I know. Some people are like, Yeti Sports. Wait a second. How fun. But I'm pretty sure you were like a little, like you were a Yeti. And I think that he had like an arm that would like swing and you would like hit like a penguin, like club it or something.
If I recall, the game, or the maybe the there were several different Yeti sports.
There were.
But the main one, it sounds like the one that was related to your particular frag pack, involved a penguin standing on a ledge, and it would jump off the ledge, and you would just press, like, click your mouse, and the Yeti would swing a bat and hit the penguin, and however the far the penguin went
was your score. Yeah.
And I don't know if there was something you could do after it had been hit to, like, but there were, like, little ramps and explosions and things that could, like, continue to volley the penguin forward.
Yes. Yes. And so I think you're right. I think maybe there was like an additional few clicks that you could do, or like maybe you got to like wherever it landed, you had like five tries or something like that.
Yeah. Maybe you could like flap its wings or something in the air.
Maybe.
Something.
Yeah. Honestly, for as much as I played the game, I can't believe I don't actually remember it better. But like, I mean, I put in probably 30 hours.
Wow.
Because like I'm sitting there looking at these, and like these are like the corals themselves, really in the scheme of things, were not like, it wasn't like absurdly rare or expensive, but it was still something that I could not buy.
Right.
Like I just didn't have the money to do it, and I wanted it so badly.
You're like, I can do this if I just commit myself.
Right.
Even just on random chance.
Right.
Eventually, because that's mostly what the game was, if I recall.
Oh yeah. Like,
there was the illusion of skill.
You're exactly right. And there were certain things that you could do. Like, no doubt you were getting on average, higher score after 5 hours of playing than you did for the first 5 hours. Like as time went on, I was getting a consistently higher and higher and higher score. And I got like within the top 10, and I was like, oh my God, like I'm so close. I'm so, so close. And like, I remember the feed, there was probably like 20 guys who were all trying to like play and win. And like, everybody was like, you know, having frustrations with like the elephants or the penguins or
right.
the flamingo or something like that. And so there's like all this chatter going on about it. And I'm like, I'm just so into it.
Right.
I think there was even like a point where I was like debating on like skipping a class.
Right. Like,
because
if I go to class, someone's going to beat the score.
Exactly.
While I'm not trying.
Right. So like, yeah. I'd be like sitting in class, like tapping my foot being like,
oh my gosh,
I need to get out so I can go and hit the penguin again. Like I need to do this. And it goes on and on and on. And it's such a long period of time that nobody had won yet that I was like, man, like, I don't know. Like maybe it's impossible. Or
so
maybe
the guy's score was like genuinely,
oh yeah,
impressive.
It was genuinely impressive. Like even the people, as many of us who were playing, like almost nobody was even coming like remotely close.
Wow.
So whatever he had done was unbelievable. Like, to the point where I would say he most likely cheated, except for it would be like, to what end?
Right.
You know,
just to see if a bunch of coral geeks would
right,
surrender
yeah, like,
30 hours of their life to chasing like, the score.
Right. Me.
Yeah.
So finally, I had a friend. I feel so terrible about this. I feel like I probably shouldn't even be talking about it, but I feel like it's modest enough. And if you out there listening were the one who put on this, I will gladly PayPal you the money for the frag pack. So just if that person is out there and you're listening, you know, message me on the same message forum
Ben,
that we were
what
on.
What mischievous thing did you do?
I had a friend who was a hacker in high school.
Oh no.
And it was like, me and him were like good buddies. And it was this, he was like the most innocuous hacker in the world. Like there was nothing about him that ever would have come across as the type of person who would do anything unsavory at all. He was just like,
Until there were corals in play.
No, he was just very smart. He was just, you know, he was good with computers, but he was also just like a very like fun, personable dude. And I sat with him at lunch, and you know, I had known him for years and years. And although you do notice I'm not name dropping this person.
That's fine.
No, but so I messaged him and I was like, I gave him like the whole spiel. I was like, I don't know how to do this. Like, is there anything you could think that like would work? And he was like, I've got this, no problem. Like, this is not even hard. And so he's like,
oh, no.
He fiddles around with it. And I remember actually there's two phases of it. So he fiddled around with it for a little bit just to see like what would happen. And he, I think entered like a score randomizer or something. And it came out with like, like a score. I think the top score that we were trying, that everybody was trying to beat, was like 5,900. He generated a score that was like 16,000. Right. Like it was like way too high.
Like, wait. Okay. Reel it in.
Yeah. But so it got publicly posted, like the 16,000 did. Oh. So like in the forum post, everybody was like, what the heck? 16,000? Like, no way. Like,
oh, man.
There's no way you could get a score that high.
Right.
And so like literally his first attempt, which was just him like goofing off, was like it was so absurdly high that it was like unbelievable.
Yeah,
so they like literally like dismissed it. Everybody's like, well, that one doesn't count. Like that guy has never even posted on the forum before. Like,
right,
he shows up and beats this high score. Like, that can't be. So then we're like, now we gotta wait a little while, because we can't have like that happen and then immediately follow that up with like, oh, but then like one day later.
Yeah,
so now we're like in like a bizarre waiting game where it's like, oh man.
Like I can obviously win, but if I win too quickly, people will know it wasn't a legit win. But if I wait,
yeah,
someone might legit win on their own.
Yeah. I won. And I feel terrible about it. I really do. It was like
you cheating at Yeti Sports to win.
I cheated in Yeti Sports to win a frag pack of corals. Oh my God. It was such a terrible thing. It was so awful. But it was like, looking back on it, it was so funny. And like, I remember the kind of just like sheer desperation that I had. Cause it was like, I didn't know what else to do. You know, I can't buy these things.
Well, now Ben, of course I would never condone your, nefarious behavior.
Of course. Sure. Obviously. I just lost host status.
But Buzzy Bees, listen to this. Wow. This is your host. But let me say, at the very least, it's not like you saw the contest and immediately messaged your friend and were like, ooh, easy score.
No,
you
know, it was not like that.
At the very least put in 30 hours worth of time.
Honestly, at minimum.
Yeah.
And like, I even had like my friends playing and stuff. And I mean, I was like, I was really, I was trying very hard.
Yeah.
In order to do it. And I don't know why this particular thing, like, honestly, like it probably would have been easier to put this amount of effort into just like making money.
Right.
Like, I mean, it couldn't have been worth more than like, at that point in time, I was making like $3 an hour towards the objective of winning this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was not exactly time well spent, but anyway, I did it.
Wow.
And I got it.
Wow.
I know.
You did it.
Yeah.
Look at you. Do you still have the corals? Are they still alive?
They are no doubt still in circulation because we have so many, like clients here in like the Roanoke area. And the stuff I had, like when I moved out of college, I remember breaking the tank down and I brought my corals just to my store. And so inevitably they have circulated out and they could even be in tanks that I still maintain to this day.
Oh,
but I couldn't tell you specifically which ones
they were.
Yeah. But I know that one of the ones I got that I was really excited about was a Captain America Palethoa.
Oh,
it was really sweet.
Does that mean it was like red, white, and blue?
It was, well, like sort of like the like polyps themselves sort of were like reddish bluish.
Right.
Yeah. But
well, so the other half of it though, is that certainly this guy was just fragging off stuff.
He was fragging stuff that he had like an abundance.
So it's not like he gave you the source material.
No. I mean, and arguably like with corals, it could have been just like pure excess that he had. And he was like, oh, this would be like a fun way to make someone's day.
Right.
Which like, you know,
he's like, I just want more hours on the website. That's all.
Right.
I work for Reef to Reef.
Right. Yeah, the forum itself. Yeah. No, possibly that was the case. Possibly that was the case. That would be very, very like deep-seated.
Yeah.
And effective.
Well, yeah, it's got you on there for an extra 30 hours.
I know.
He's just sitting there. He happens to be the salesperson for the ads on the website. And suddenly he can be like, look at this. We've had growth. Hours on the website has jumped in the past month from an average of 30 minutes a day from our users to 2.5 hours a day. That is time your ads are being in front of our customers.
It's all coming together.
It's all coming together.
It's always marketing.
That's what it's all. Who's to say?
Who's to say? Oh my gosh.
Probably he was just a regular old coral vendor having fun playing Yeti Sports.
I mean, who doesn't?
Who doesn't? Who doesn't? Wasn't that such a weird time on the internet where like every website had just like a little link on the side that said games?
Yeah. 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 It was yeah. like, it was like every like website wasn't a website unless you had like an arcade.
Right. Like you could clearly some sort of best practices guru out there was like, you want people to spend more time on your website? Put games. You want more view? They'll come to your website just to play the games. But while they're there, they'll see the other stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
This actually worked out very well in high school because I was amongst the first group of high school students to get laptops.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
I was the very last group not to.
Yeah. Sorry about that. That's a bummer. and it was like the first year, once again, Wild West. Like the IT department did not know to block anything. So like all like literally you'd be like sitting in the back row of class and in front of you was like 15 people all playing like a variety of different
some sort of game.
Yeah.
As a spectator, this was almost like a spectator sport because you're right, it was like Wild West. And you know, as the IT department would catch up with certain websites or certain like things they could do to block you from like playing games while you were in school, it did nothing to quash the, if anything, all it did was make the people more creative.
Oh yes.
In the ways in which they were going to get around your firewalls. Cause it was like, oh, this is clearly the trendy game right now. But then like that would get blocked. So it was like, no big deal. New game just rises up.
Yep. Yeah. That was exactly what happened. And it was like, you're right. Like it would be like, this website got banned. This website got banned. This website got banned. Like one after another. But then like we all started figuring out like what it really did was a game between us and the IT department and how ingenious we could get with ways to get past them. So we're actively learning a ton right. about computers.
Yeah.
Like
jokes
we're learning.
On you guys, we're learning.
I know. Yeah. It's like, ha ha. It's like, we know what proxies are. We know how to set up emulators. Like, you know, we're like literally doing just like one thing after another. And so all 4 years, each year, the security would get more sophisticated. And each year we would just get better at bypassing it.
Right.
So I would say like the most they had us quelled was probably like our sophomore year where they had put in blocks and we hadn't figured out how to overcome the blocks yet. But once we started to learn that you could overcome any block, anything was possible.
Anything was possible.
So
I feel like I remember some people would like just install emulators on their home computer and then leave those open and remote access them from their laptops.
That
like
was
with like IP addresses and stuff.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What could they do to stop you?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. I mean, actually the biggest thing that they had no way to get past was if you just opened something at home. So I think T games, I think is what it was called. There was like this bicycle game where like literally you just had like a little guy on a bicycle and you use your arrow keys to like move forward, accelerate, reverse, brake. And he like you had to like move him through like a series of like hills and loops and collect coins and stuff. And
all those old flash games.
Yeah, little flash games. But the thing was, is that like the game, like once it was open on your computer, you could literally just open it on your browser at home and then go to school. And as long as you didn't hit refresh, it would just keep playing the whole day. So you could just like there was nothing to stop anybody from doing that. Like the local cache was just enough to like make it work.
Right.
So it was so fun. It was so amazing. Like, although I 100% impeded my learning process.
Whoops.
That's okay. Everything worked out just fine in the end.
Yeah. You know what? It's all good.
We got through it. Guys, thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of The Pop. Hopefully you're still a fan and not like completely torn apart that I did something very unsavory in my college year.
But also do go vote for Indy.
But please go vote for Indy because I'm doing that with the complete legitimacy of just, I have lots of friends. Lots of friends on the internet.
Lots of friends on the internet.
And they got my back.
Yeah.
So, yeah, don't forget, that's in the show notes or link in the description, depending on where you happen to be watching this. Also, we want to give a huge thank you to everybody who supports us over on Patreon, including these patrons. Diego Lozano, Megan Crilly, Stephanie McCleary, Julia Parisio, Zach, Katie Murphy, Michael Reamer, Henry Cohen, John Thomas Round, Wesley Kennedy, and Yanni Dodge.
Nice.
Thank you guys so much for your support over on Patreon. If you guys would like to support us on Patreon, we do a show after the show. Mm-hmm. No, wrong Patreon.
Wrong Patreon.
We
Ben.
Call it After the Final Pop.
Your here. Hosting is just taking a real hit today. And
it's all this confession. It's like really like it's yeah, I'm feeling it.
Do you feel lighter?
A little bit. Yeah. Now that everybody knows.
Everyone knows.
They're like, okay, next time I come see your coral collection, I'll know this is the product of a cheater. No, we do an extra 15-20 minutes every week. We call it After the Final Pop. That's available over at patreon.com/popcornculture, or you can keep the discussion alive over on our Reddit page, or just send feedback to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. Otherwise, guys, until next week,
pop pop.